Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
I am unwilling to give up, that I will start over from scratch as many times as it takes to get where I want to be.
You just want to make sure you will get knocked down, but just make sure you don't get knocked out.
So your only choice should be go focus on what you can control.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Kara Golden Show. Join me each week for inspiring conversations with some of the world's greatest leaders. We'll talk with founders, entrepreneurs, CEOs, and really some of the most interesting people of our time. Can't wait to get started. Let's go.
Hi, everyone. It's Kara Golden from The Kara Golden Show, and I'm so excited to have my next guest here. She is the founder and CEO of an incredible company called GEM, and her name is Sarah Cullen. And if you have not heard of GEM, you are going to be so thrilled to try this product, but also to hear the backstory on this incredible company that has completely reimagined the multivitamin, turning what was once a chore into a delightful, nutritious experience with their Real Food Bites, which are super packed with vitamins and minerals and superfoods and all the good stuff, prebiotics, probiotics, and they're absolutely delicious. So definitely get ready to hear all about this incredible company, plus Sarah's journey in creating GEM. And let's dive in as soon as possible so that you can stop hearing from me and hear from Sarah. So welcome, Sarah.
Thanks, Kara. I'm so excited to be here.
Very excited to have you here. And I've been wondering who is behind this incredible company. So I'm very, very excited to hear all about the founding of it, but also hear your backstory. So maybe start it, you know, in your own words. Why did you decide to start GEM? And what were you doing before this?
I decided to start GEM out of my own health journey that I had. I was in my late 20s. I was experiencing a lot of stress because before this, I actually had another company that we can get to. So at the time, I was in the startup world. I was building things. I was super stressed out. I was in my late 20s. I was having these allergic reactions, which were kind of sporadic and weird. I wasn't sure what was going on. You know, I thought I was healthy. I went to the doctor. It turns out I was nutrient deficient in a lot of areas. And so that's, you know, led me down the health journey, right? And so I started going to the supplement aisle for the first time. I never believed in vitamins, ironically. I think you should get your nutrients from whole food. But it turns out even if you eat perfectly, it's almost impossible to get all of your vitamins and minerals from food because of our depleted food system. So you do need to fill the gaps in your diet. And what I found when I was looking to do that is this aisle full of these shiny, colorful capsules and pills and these sugary gummy bears. And it just didn't make intuitive sense to me. Why would I put these artificial processed things into my body to fill the gaps in that way? There has to be a better nutritional solution. And so I started making my own concoctions in the kitchen, and it was very green at the time. Lots of spirulina and algae and these superfoods. And it didn't taste great, but I felt a lot better. And eventually it led to this funny looking bite that's now GEM. And we've gone through many iterations since then. So years later, it now tastes amazing, but it's taken a long time to get to this formula and into this product. And I brought in now a full scientific advisory board of people to help me. So we have a neurologist, we have a functional medicine doctor, we have an herbalist, we have a registered dietitian. So we're really looking at your health from multiple angles and building the right formula in this nutrient dense whole food bite. And so you're actually getting your nutrients from real food, you know, in a bioavailable form, in the best form for your body, and not through this artificial processed way. And that's, you know, it was really just my own health journey and experimentation and curiosity that led me to this point.
How often have you thought about learning a new language only to be stopped by that memory of yours from the last time you tried to learn a language when it didn't go so well? Okay, maybe it wasn't a language that you were interested in learning, or perhaps all those poorly written textbooks in your sixth grade class weren't that well written after all. I have a great tip for you. It's called Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program around. Available on desktop or app, no matter where you choose to learn it or what platform you choose to learn on, Rosetta Stone works, and it truly immerses you in the language you choose to learn, quicker and easier than you ever imagined to. Maybe you're getting ready to travel abroad this summer and you want to learn a bit of Portuguese, let's say, before your trip. Rosetta Stone can help. I know this firsthand as I did just this before traveling to Portugal last year. I learned Portuguese through Rosetta Stone, and by doing so, I not only got a better grasp of the spoken language of Portugal, but it got me very excited for the trip itself before I went. They even have a true accent feature that gives you feedback on your pronunciation as you are learning too. They've got you covered. Rosetta Stone's trusted experts are the real deal. They've been helping people just like you for over 30 years, helping millions of people to learn Spanish, French, Italian, German, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, Dutch, Arabic, Polish, and my favorite, Portuguese. The lessons are 5 to 10 minutes long and include practical exercises so that you can pick up the language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. No English translations either, so you really learn to speak, listen, and think in the language you are focused on, helping you get the long-term retention you are looking for. And who wouldn't want that? Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, the Kara Golden Show listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today today. Thinking about what's for dinner, but you haven't had a minute to even think about it before now? Well, let's not make that mistake again. I have a tip for you. Factor. Stress-free, delicious, ready-to-eat meals, just perfect for spring and summer yumminess. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes or less. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options: keto, vegan, veggie, or calorie smart. Factor has you covered. Discover more than 60 add-ons every week, too, like breakfast and on-the-go lunch choices. Snacks and beverages now too. Stay fueled and feel good all day long with whatever they are creating over at Factor for you. And the best part, each meal is ready to eat in just 2 minutes or less. And who wouldn't want that? Factor is your solution for fast premium meals without the need for cooking. Get started today and fuel up for your spring and summer goals. What are you waiting for? Head to factormeals.com/golden50 and use code golden50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code golden50 at factormeals.com/golden50 to get 50% off plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. That's code GOLDEN50 at factormeals.com/GOLDEN50 to get 50% off plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. And so what were you doing before this?
After college, I joined an entrepreneurial fellowship called Venture for America. And that's where I first got my feet wet in the world of startups and building things. And then after that fellowship, I joined a group of restaurateurs actually in New York. And they were building kind of an angel investing incubator group. And so I, with them, co-founded this CBD beverage company. This was back in 2016. So I was the OG of that category. Yeah. I was a pioneer in the world of CBD. We were the first to market. Didn't last long. complete failure, learned a lot from that. But most of the failure was just like me being super young and not setting up the right operational structure. But I learned a lot about how to build a product from scratch, you know, the ins and outs of the supply chain and the co-man world and what that looked like. And most of all, it really, you know, it goes with my cohesive story around just like food is medicine and being interested in all of these different plant compounds, including CBD, including algae, including these other interesting plants that we use in GEM. And how can we democratize access to them in convenient ways, in nutritious ways, and educate the world about them? And so that's what attracted me initially, actually, to this, you know, budding CBD world at the time. And ultimately, you know, I continue that story in a very different way, but I had started with co-founding this company.
I love it. So, well, I think you were also early for CBD. I mean, that was like, I mean, give yourself a little bit of a break. And then also beverages are, you know, lots of things are hard, and it doesn't sound like you're afraid of hard, but it's definitely a lot and takes a lot of capital. A lot of capital. So
I admire you in the category that you're in. It's very, very hard to disrupt and to build quickly. And
thank you. That's very kind. But so how would you describe GEM and its mission? You talked about you're taking a lot of the vitamin side of the world, and also, but you're also doing more. You're going into the pre and probiotic side of the world too, and you're putting it into a very, very unique format that not very many people are doing. I'm trying to give a visual to people on sort of what I've experienced, but I'd love to hear what you think when you think about the product, and also how do you differentiate it from other supplements?
Great question. Our mission is to transform human and planetary health through the power of nutrition and really celebrate the sustainable future of food as medicine. So ultimately, we're building a product that's rooted in that ethos very clearly. Mm-hmm. Food as medicine, it's a real food bite. And we're disrupting this vitamin and supplement aisle that has really only had very few form factors, right? Pills, capsules, tablets, gummy bears, tinctures, powders, that's it. No one has taken a food form and has created a nutrient-dense bite that could be your multivitamin replacement. And that's what we're doing. We want to really redefine what a vitamin looks like, but also what's inside of it. I don't think your multivitamin should necessarily be 100% of every single vitamin and mineral. I do think you get a lot from your diet. It should be carefully selected to look at what are your nutrient deficiencies, like on average, and that's what we looked at. What are kind of average nutrient deficiencies? And then what are our lifestyle demands that might be leading to deficiencies, right? Things like stress or eating more plant-based even. There's different lifestyle behaviors that have led to us needing a new type of formula. And so that's how we built our multivitamin. So we have things like vitamin B's and D, but we also have turmeric, you know, with black pepper. And so we look at like inflammation that's happening in your diet, or probiotics and prebiotics, the gut health. It's really important to have this foundation. And so we've looked at how do we like design a curated formula in that way that fits your lifestyle, but also how do we make sure that the ingredients work together to do the most for you. And that, you know, often people call it like synergistic combination, is what then provides that bioavailability, making sure it's activated to its full potential. Turmeric and black pepper is kind of a famous example of that. Or prebiotics and probiotics, you really can't have them alone. You really need to have those two things together to do the most for you. So that's how we thought about designing it. And we really try to take all of our, you know, vitamins and minerals from whole food sources as well. Like our vitamin D comes from an algae source. Our vitamin K2 comes from fermented chickpea. And that again goes along with this food as medicine ethos. And really building a future of nutrition that's equitable, that's accessible, and that's delightful as well. I think nutrition should be fun. It should be easy. It shouldn't be this scary thing where you're choking down handfuls of pills and swallowing them, you know, gagging on them. It should be delightful and fun and convenient and comprehensive as well.
So where did the name GEM come from, or how did you decide to name the company GEM?
I can't even, we had a funny name before GEM. We really happy I changed the name. Our first name was called NOSH, Natural, Organic, Sustainable, Healthy. Like a fun acronym, but also like NOSH, like a snack. Not a great name. Really happy I moved on from that to GEM. And I think, you know, I'm trying to remember how I even came up with GEM. I feel like it was one of those shower moments where you're like sitting in the shower and I was looking at, I think, one of my shampoo bottles that said Gemstone. And I was like, oh, GEM's kind of a cute name. And it just sort of, it led itself to so many fun, you know, ideas and just, I love the short, pithy name, and that this little bite's like this little gem, right? And, you know, you're a gem of a human. And so it's just this sort of fun name that really doesn't have any substantial meaning behind it other than I think it just sounds good.
Yeah, no, it's a great name. So the vitamin industry is super competitive and challenging. I mean, it's very crowded. It's not as regulated, I think, as many people like to believe, but yours is a little, goes beyond that and gets into, I think you're more than vitamins. And I think when I look at, though, creating it, and even you're direct to consumer totally right now. So maybe in some ways that's easier because you're not sort of trying to figure out the shelf space that exists inside of stores. But what were some of the initial hurdles you faced when launching GEM, and how did you overcome those?
Great question. The first is taste. Mm-hmm. It was super difficult, right? My life would have been a lot easier had I started a gummy bear company where I could use artificial flavors and coloring and sugar to mask everything. But having to squeeze that many nutrient-dense plants without any of those artificial fillers and binders was really challenging. And we pride ourselves on our innovation mindset. We have iterated on our formula again and again, and on our packaging design. We're always trying to make it the best, the highest quality, and the best tasting. And so that's been a journey in itself. And, you know, I started with this sort of kaleidoscopic scientific advisory board that I mentioned earlier with all these different voices, which is awesome. And then I also brought in later down the road, a pastry chef, and more culinary backgrounds and chefs and cooks to help, and bakers to actually help make the product taste good. So we looked at it from that angle too, from the Sun and Delightful angle. So that was a big challenge from a product standpoint, getting that right. I would say the second one is, for our type of product, we're not a supplement company where product proliferation begets growth necessarily. We're not going to have, you know, we have quite a few products, but we're really focused on our main foundational, the GEM Bite multivitamin product. And making sure that we keep focused to that is so important for our business. And there were times in the early days where, you know, we have like a sleep product, we have an energy product, we have a magnesium by a calm product, which is lovely. But these aren't our core focuses. These are just awesome add-ons. Really, it's your foundational bite that we're focused on and investing in. And that's where a lot of our brand equity goes. And I think understanding that business model and that focus from the get-go is really important for our type of company. And especially for our form factor, right? We don't want you eating more than, we say, 3 bites a day, because then it becomes a whole meal in itself, which might be fun, but really we want it to be convenient and delightful and easy for you. And so that's where that one bite a day, you know, is an important focus for us.
Really good point. So how many SKUs then did you launch with? Was it just the one core one?
We launched with one core one. However, it had 3 different flavor variations.
Okay.
So now we only have one flavor, citrus ginger, and that's one that we've worked really hard at formulating. Mm-hmm. But in the early days, we actually had cacao, we had lemon, and we had peppermint. Most of these are sunsetted. We actually have a variation of 2 of them that still exists for existing loyal customers, but we don't, in fact, offer it in your first order anymore because they're very polarizing taste profiles, I'll say. Some people love it. And that's the base that we have, the contingent that we still have holding on to it, which I of course love it, but I'm very biased. But for, I think, more of like a mass, you know, palate, accessibility. Our citrus ginger is like our core flavor now. So we had launched with those three flavors to kind of offer that variability to try to reach, different taste profiles in the early days. And then we ended up launching two new kind of bonus SKUs is what we call them. Anything outside of our bonus bites, anything outside of our main foundational multivitamin SKU. We launched those two years after inception.
After that. So how many total SKUs do you guys have now?
So total, we have five.
Five. Okay.
If you include the flavor variations that I mentioned aren't necessarily offered to new customers.
Got it. And so when you launched, did you see a big discrepancy like in the sales numbers for the different flavors, or were you, was it giant, or did you just decide, you know what, let's just focus on this one? How did you make that decision, I guess is the question.
Yeah, it was hard. Actually, within one week of launching, I realized that I had to offer a trial pack. So We started by being like, choose your flavor. That didn't work out. Within 1 week, I figured that out. So that's how fast I got that data. And then I implemented a trial pack. So these trial packs at the time were 5 bites per pack. You got 3 flavors. And so your first month or your first 2 weeks, I think at the time it was, you got this trial pack and you chose your flavor and then you tried them all. And then you essentially told us, okay, this flavor, I would like to opt into a subscription. This is my favorite flavor. And you could switch at any time down the road. And so that trial entry point worked really well for us in matching you to your right flavor. And also, trials are just a great way to get people into the funnel too, from a direct-to-consumer perspective.
Yeah, definitely.
We actually don't offer trials anymore.
So, when did you know that you were like, successful? I mean, I hear this a lot. So funny. I hear this a lot from founders. What is the metric, right? I just had Scott Tannen on from Bowl and Branch, and his interview was so funny. He talked about, he was every day was generally roughly the same amount of sales. And so he thought that that was great. And then it just kind of started shooting up. And then he had a couple of days where there were like no sales at all. And he was like, okay, what am I doing wrong? And then all of a sudden he got a few more sales. And so it's just like spikes that go on throughout the journey for sure. But where do you get that confirmation that you're making the right decision on to stay going, I think is the big thing.
Yeah. So actually in the first 2 years, we grew quite consistently 20 to 30% every month. So every month we had 20 to 30% month over month growth for 2 years. It was great. Then iOS hit about the 2 year mark. Mm-hmm. Maybe it was 2.5. And at that point, things really changed. We had to change our top of funnel, right? To adjust our paid funnel in order to support the higher CACs. We had to change a lot of things across kind of our product and our business model. We restabilized and focused on the fundamentals, looking at retention, cohort retention. And so now I would say it has shifted a lot in my mind. From looking at that month over month growth, which was maybe early indicators of like, oh, we're onto something, like people are interested in this, to now the retention side. If I see that now, I'm looking for certain retention numbers, which is very, specific to our business and from a cohort lens. So it's hard to share exactly what that is. But I look at that now and I have baseline. And so if I see something going, down or up, I'm like, oh, we're on to something or we're not, or what are we doing wrong? So now it's a much more sensitive model, I would say, right? In the early days, it's like, you kind of just look for that growth. Like, are we ticking up or not? And now it's like, let's turn the knobs and do the fine tuning. And it's challenging. Challenging era, 4 or 5 years later now, it's getting harder to get those same growth numbers, and you have to get much more nuanced and much more diligent about some of those nuanced KPIs.
And so how do you build like a strong and loyal community that knows about your product? Because I think word of mouth is the best, right? When people are just talking about your product and you're not paying influencers to talk about your product, it really shows, right? And how do you do that? And obviously through social media, because you're a direct-to-consumer company, maybe you're doing trial as well so people can figure out how great it tastes. But how do you do that?
We've tried. I mean, I don't know if we have some sort of magic formula. I think we've tried it all. You know, I often talk about my story. In the early days, I started on Facebook group and I started a community where I had everyone refer, you know, their friend in. So it became kind of like not just my friends, but, you know, these outer circles, tertiary networks. And that's how I first seeded the product. And I did a lot of surveys with this group. I did a lot of beta testing, prototyping. And that group still lives on today. We still invite you to this group within our email flow. You can still join. It's not led by me. It's completely community led. So people ask questions in there. People share their own, you know, health journey. And so we offer kind of like microcosms like this of community for our people, whether it's like on these like unique private community groups, whether it's on organic social. We also do a really fun event in real life event activation called Gem Breakfast Club, where we partner with different chefs and different, right? We've only done LA and New York so far, those cities, but we've gone to those cities. We partner with those chefs. We make a beautiful food is medicine brunch spread that's synergistic with Gem and our ingredients. And we talk about Gem. Obviously we share that. We invite other brands to participate. So we offer in real life, you know, events. We do these kind of private community groups. We also have our ambassador program. We have a Give a Gem, which is our kind of philanthropic arm. So there's like different activities like that that we do. And I think that these days, that's what word of mouth really requires, is kind of a syndicated system of different communities that fits different people's lifestyles and needs. And that's what we try to provide. I think we really are for everyone, for better, for worse. It's super hard to target. So we have a lot of ages that take our product, and we try to meet them at those different places.
So what's the most challenging aspect of building a company? It's funny. I was talking, my son is in college and he's sort of grown up in our house around being around entrepreneurs. And he said, it's probably like the one thing that he sees so often, and he has a couple of entrepreneurial classes, but he said it's like the people, you know, they think that being an entrepreneur is just about having a great product that tastes great and that, you know, checks all the boxes, whether that's, you know, top of funnel or, you know, determining how to actually not deal with too many chargebacks if you're going into stores or whatever. But it's also, there's people that are involved in the company. And, you know, and that ends up, depending on the day, to be a really big aspect for founders. And I just like love to hear from you. What do you think about that? Like, I mean, in terms of, you know, the challenging aspect of building a company and an idea.
Yeah. So I think you have great points there of like, you have to, out of the get-go, be able to build, you know, a good taste, a good product, a quality product, one that's needed in the marketplace and one that has good unit economics, mm-hmm. right? So, you know, some people I hear, they're like doing a subscription, frozen business in glass, whatever. I'm like, how is that ever going to work and scale? Yeah. So you need to be able to have a scalable company, a good quality product. That's certainly the foundation. And hopefully you can get that somewhat right out of the get-go so that you're on a good path. But I agree with you. It's not necessarily the most challenging. I would say the most challenging is the people part.
Yeah.
And I've talked about this before on podcasts. You know, in the early days for me, everyone's circumstance is different. We had to raise money right away. I didn't have money at the time. I needed to fundraise out of the gates. super hard. The first $3 million that you're fundraising takes a lot of time, a lot of energy. And that's really unfortunate. I'm also a sole founder. So it took up a lot of my time. So I felt like, you know, in some ways I didn't get a good head start on the people part until later, until I finally got the money to hire the people. It's like the chicken and the egg problem. And so I, once I got to that people part, you know, I never worked for a large corporate company. Mm-hmm. I've never had that experience. I've interned for big government, like organizational, you know, the UN, the World Bank, that kind of thing. But those were all internships. Like I've actually never worked for a large corporate company, for better or for worse. I don't think I would thrive in those environments. However, it would be nice to learn from some of them, because I've had to learn, you know, there's all of this like HR kind of 101, you know, paperwork and documentations and how you manage and how you lead people. And, you know, I've had coaching now and I've had help, but it's a lot to learn in a short amount of time. And, how do you attract, you know, the best in class leadership, and how do you retain that leadership? And it really is all about the people that you work with. That is the most important thing. I mean, that is, you know, of course, it's the product and it's your customers, but at the end of the day, like you are working, it's your team that's making it all happen, and investing in them the right way is so important.
Yeah, it's so true. I remember early on at Hint, and people have asked me, like, how did you get, how did you recruit initially? And think about this, like people are relying on you. You've never done this before, right? You've had amazing experience and you're smart. You've done a lot of things, but the fact that they're actually, in our case, signing on to a drink, maybe they like the taste of it, but I mean, they're depending on you to actually build this company. Their family, in some cases, is depending on you too, to, you know, make sure you're paying your bills and, you know, setting up health and all of these things, right? All the backbone of it. And I think for me, the hardest thing was when the first person two pieces. The first person left the company, and then the first time I had to fire somebody. I mean, both really hard, because it's like somebody thinks, you know, in the case of the person leaving, it's like they're telling you your baby's ugly, right? You're like, and that you're a terrible, you know, parent, or, you know, you've done this or whatever. And then the second one, I mean, it's never easy to fire somebody, and especially somebody that's committed to your company, and ever going to care. What's that?
I was so nervous. The first person, I think I'm the most nervous I've ever been in my whole life on anything.
it's really bad. And it never, I always tell people it never frankly gets easier to do it. And, you know, depending on who you are, I think that if somebody says, oh, it's really easy, and, you know, I get that it's super important to you know, if a person is not working for the company, but when you start looking at, you know, how many years have they been here, they've got a family, all of those things, you can do it in some kinder way, I guess. But it's, but anyway, I just think, going back to the original point, I think that you're going to go through changes in the beginning, that, that people are signing on to basically an idea, and they need a job, and they're going to come and do it, but they're probably not going to be the team that you're going to have when you hit 3 million or whatever.
I think that's the hardest part that's the hardest part for me to swallow, because you want to hire these people, you want to hire right, and you would love to grow with them. And I think in an ideal world, some people you can grow with them. But the truth is that sometimes who you can hire and afford when you're under 3 million in sales versus 3 to 10 versus 10 to 20, it's actually very different leveling up, like different levels of skill set. Mm-hmm. And you don't necessarily have the capacity to grow those people to, like, it's not that these people don't have potential, but sometimes, like, you don't have, you know, the Google resources. I like to say these big company resources to train and to have the time to level everybody up accordingly to your growth that you're hitting. So it's really tough having to kind of reorg like that at each level. And it happens quite a bit. And we're going through another reorg now, and it hurts.
Yeah.
You know, it's never fun. for any party, any side. Yeah. And I think that's super hard. And, you know, I think to your point, like there's a lot of ego involved too as a founder, just like fundraising, right? When you're fundraising, you're getting a lot of no's and rejection, and to then go to the hiring side and feel like you're getting rejection there, it's a lot to take.
Yeah, no, definitely. So last question, as a leader, you touched on this, but you're going to face a lot of challenges and learn a lot along the way. What's one piece of advice you would give to aspiring entrepreneurs who are thinking about launching or maybe have launched and are a little bit behind where you're at now as they're, you know, looking at this experience?
Oh, you have so many tidbits. I think right now what's top of mind is there's no way but through, and to not let perfection get in your way. And there are times that I have to remind myself, that's why this is top of mind right now. You know, you want everything to be perfect 100% when you launch, or, you know, the brand messaging to be just perfectly dialed in. And sometimes the only way is to really just go through it. And it might be at 80%, but to keep persevering, to keep iterating on it. And that's really what's important. I think a lot of early founders get super stalled up in that perfectionism. And I just, you know, there's a reason why it takes years to build a company. And a lot of people don't talk about that too. I think they hear these stories of these rocket ship companies and they think, oh, I exit in 3 years. And that's just not the reality. If people tell you that, they haven't told you about the other 10 years they spent building the company. Yeah. So, you know, I don't know.
I totally agree. It's funny, when we first launched Hint, I think Vitamin Water was like 12 years old. And we ended up meeting the founder, and, you know, he had restructured the company. He had gone bankrupt. I mean, there was like a whole like story. I was like, wait, I just started seeing Vitamin Water and all of its success a couple of years ago. I thought I was early, like finding you guys. And, you know, it's amazing, because I think companies are typically way many more years into it by the time you end up learning about companies, even if you're super early. I totally agree with you. So anyway, Sarah Cullen, founder and CEO of Gem, so, so nice to meet you. Everyone needs to try this product. We'll have all the info in the show notes too. But thank you for spending time with us. And thank you, everybody, for listening. And have a great rest of the week.
Thank you.
Thanks again for listening to The Kara Golden Show. If you would, please give us a review and feel free to share this podcast with others who would benefit. And of course, feel free to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode of our podcast. Just a reminder that I can be found on all platforms at Kara Golden. I would love to hear from you too, so feel free to DM me. And if you want to hear more about my journey, I hope you will have a listen or pick up a copy of my Wall Street Journal best-selling book, Undaunted, where I share more about my journey, including founding and building Hint. We are here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Thanks for listening, and goodbye for now.